Well, I want to talk to you today about the birthday of the church, and it's found in the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is the 6th of June, it's the month Sivan. It was fully come, they were all with one accord. How many? Well, the number of names together back in chapter 1 said was about 120. They were all with one accord. Now, what does this mean? This means they were sanctified. This means they were a separated people. This means that they were earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. They were with one accord in one place. They had unity. The very number one is the number of unity. And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one in unity. They are one in purpose. They are one in kingdom. They are one in will. And you and I need to become one with the Father, and one with the Spirit, and one with the Son in unity. So they were all with one accord in one place. Now listen, something good's going to happen when we get in one accord with the Lord. When our minds are set on Him, when we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, when we're reaching out for the higher things of God, something great's going to happen in every individual's life. And here it comes. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Well, wind is a symbol of the Spirit of God. Wind is air in perceptible or perceivable motion. You don't see the wind, but you can sure feel the wind. We don't see the Spirit of God, but we can sure feel the Spirit of God when He moves. And in these meetings this past week, the Spirit of God has truly moved. And hearts have been blessed, and souls have been lifted up to a higher place in the Lord. Well, wind is a symbol of the Spirit. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Well, we know fire is another symbol of the Spirit. In fact, there's 9 symbols of the Spirit, and 5 of those symbols are mentioned here in the second chapter of Acts. So it introduces wind and it introduces fire. We know that fire is illuminating. It gives light. We know that the Spirit of God is illuminating. He is the Spirit of truth and not the spirit of error. He leads men and women, boys and girls, into all truth. He takes the things that Christ spoke and He reveals the deeper truths. These things in the Bible are spiritually discerned. Our friend, the late Bonnie West, told about a cousin. I don't know how much particulars I should go into, but he married kind of an odd woman. Some of you might think your wife's kind of odd, but that was years ago. She would come down from New York, they would, and she'd stop off at Bristol, Virginia, because she didn't know that what the Tennesseans were still going around barefoot, and they were hillbillies. And so she'd stop off at the hotel in Virginia and let him come on down into this dangerous country called Tennessee, where they were still just hillbillies. And that man taught Bible history in a college, in a great college in New York City. And yet he wasn't saved. Now what am I trying to tell you and I? I'm trying to tell you that it's not head knowledge. The devils have a mental conception of the Lord, and they believe and they tremble. But we know they're past probation. They kept not their first estate. They're lost. So you can have a mental conception of the Lord. You can even have church membership. But this does not constitute salvation. The Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. The Spirit of God is illuminating. The Spirit of God brings warmth, just like fire brings warmth and illumination. And there's many other wonderful characteristics about fire. Fire is consuming. And fire out of control is destructive. But fire can burn through any opposition. There's hardly anything that can stop fire when it gets a head start. And there's nothing in this world that can stop the consuming move of God's Spirit. God, the Bible said, whether he letteth. And the Spirit of God moves. And the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, they did not speak all these languages just so all of these people could understand. Because they had a mother tongue. The Bible plainly states in verse 5, they were devout men, Jews, out of every nation under heaven. They had a mother tongue. But the reason they spoke all of these wonderful languages, these ignorant and unlearned Galileans that had not been to school to learn these different languages, suddenly under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, were praising God in all of these different dialects. The Elamites, the Mesopotamians, the Parthians, the Medes, the Greeks, those in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, that's part of modern Turkey, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. There's 17 different nations represented here. And the 17 works of the flesh in the chapter 5 of Galatians. And the Bible said, what's the significance? Here's the significance. The Bible said, if we're led by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now there's 17 works of the flesh, and there's 17 nations represented here on the day of Pentecost that heard them speak in their native tongue wherein they were born, the wonderful works of God. These ignorant and unlearned Galileans that had not studied these languages suddenly were enabled by the indwelling of the Spirit of God upon their lives to speak in a language they'd never heard before, the wonderful works of God. And it amazed these devout Jews that were gathered there for the Feast of Pentecost and for the Feast of Passover. It amazed them that these people could speak suddenly the wonderful works of God. And they ran together and they said, why, we hear them speaking the wonderful works of God. Now, what am I trying to do here in making this point? 17 nations, 17 works of the flesh. If you and I will be led by the Spirit of God, God can help you. Doesn't matter who you are, black, white, red, yellow, the Spirit of God can move on your life, and the Spirit of God can enable you to crucify the flesh. The Spirit of God can enable you to be what you need to be. And without the moving of God's Spirit, we're none of His. We're still dead in trespasses and sins. But with the moving of God's Spirit, you and I can crucify the flesh and the affections and the lust thereof. You and I can go deeper depths and higher heights in the Lord. Well, there were some that it was jibber-jabber to them, and others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. They're just like, they must be drunk. Well, wine is exhilarating. Wine is a type of the Spirit of God. And Peter stood up in the midst of the 11, and he lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, ye men of Judea. Evidently, the Judeans were the chief ones that were mocking. Read your Bible. Read church history. You will always find there will be mockers and doubters and scoffers that will misunderstand the move of God's Spirit. There have been those that do that and will still remain even until this day. But Peter set them straight. He said, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that. Now, what does that statement? It was noised abroad, so a voice is another symbol of the Spirit of God. But when he said this is that, this authenticates. This sets to the seal of God. This is prophecy being fulfilled. Joel, the prophet, said in the last days God would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, the sun shone. All of these things are being fulfilled today. The sun was darkened for many days in Mexico just recently, wasn't it? Because of the many burnings and the smoke that filled the air. And it also would speak of eclipse of the sun. The Bible said the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Now, I don't understand that statement, but it's Bible. The moon into blood. I tell you, I wouldn't be too anxious to be one of these astronauts that reportedly are going to the moon. They may shed their blood there. I don't understand that scripture, but God's word will be fulfilled. It said the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, that's you, that's me, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, this is marvelous. This is marvelous what took place. This was that endowment of power, Acts 1 and 8. For after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power and be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. It just spreads from Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, thank God that means right here in Morristown, Tennessee. That means right here, right there where you're listening. That means for you. The Bible said it's for you. It's for your children. It's for them that are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's universal. God wants us all to be saved from our sins. He wants us to be sanctified from the sin principle. He wants us to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. After the Bible order of Acts 2 and 4, 10 and 46, and 19 and 6, for in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. Yes, my friend, the Holy Ghost is here today. So let us say amen. New-fashioned ways we don't approve, though some may call us slow. We like the good old-fashioned ways of 40 years ago. 40 years ago. 40 years ago. I wished I were a boy again, as in the long ago. And the song said, I'd like to see the preacher's face above the bench again, smiling through his happy tears like sunshine after rain. I'd like to hear his glory be to God and his wonderful amen, and a half a dozen anxious souls be truly born again. 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Glory to God, this past week, we've experienced some of those 40 years ago experiences. Man, they've got happy. They've shouted. They've praised God. They've run around this place. They've rejoiced in the things of God. And we've heard old-time preaching and old-time singing with a real ring to it. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful what God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think through his power? Listen at this verse now. The conclusion, through his power which worketh in us. You don't need to quench the spirit. As Brother George Enoy used to say, quench the spirit. You need to yield to the spirit of God. You need to let the Lord have his right away. You need to yield to the spirit of God, and if you will, it'll be amazing. You can have another Pentecost. Glory to God, I'm so wound up. Seem like you can't stop. Sing, Brother Hayes.